The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Hello and a pleasant good morning. It's a pleasure to be here once more again on Guardian Radio AM. And I am C.A. Nuri, and I'm planning to have a conversation with you today. So you might ask, what is this conversation about? This conversation is about Grand Bahama. And what I want to talk about at Grand Bahama, I want to ask you a question. I want people to call in and answer this question. Is Grand Bahama finished? Yeah, you heard me right. I want to ask that question, and I want you to answer me and be truthful with your answer. I want you to analyze it. I want you to absorb the taste and let it lick around your mouth and then respond. Is Grand Bahama finished? And you may ask, like, why would you dare say such a thing, right? Why would you even suggest that? Why would you diminish an entire island, right? But I'm going to give some evidence, and I want you to conclude with me, right? Just recently, we had a number of business people in Grand Bahama protesting. And I'm saying, what are these people protesting about? They were actually protesting against the Port Authority. And they claimed that the Port Authority is not doing their job, that they have an interest, a responsibility to make sure the economy is right for them. And I thought, something must be wrong with that. The Port Authority ain't the government. Government creates the environment where businesses thrive. I believe the people in Grand Bahama mix up. And certainly, if that is the case, then perhaps Grand Bahama is finished. Then a couple weeks ago, I saw a bulldozing exercise, a mass fire before that. And I said, what is that? And people said, that's the bazaar. I said, can't be the bazaar. That's where the magic is. That's where the magic city is. And they said, no, that's the end of a bygone era. And I sit back and sighed and said, oh my God, Grand Bahama is finished. Then I consider that Hurricane Dorian passed, then hurricane after hurricane passed, and the economy of Grand Bahama hasn't picked up. There hasn't been any vested interest in developing, catching up. And I said, oh my God, Grand Bahama finished. Then I realized that the airport, the international airport that Grand Bahama had, was mashed up, so mashed up that they closed it down for so long that U.S. Pre-clearance, the people there, took it back and said, when you'll ever get this airport finished, we'll come back. And I sit down and said, oh my Lord, Grand Bahama is finished. So that's what I want to talk about. I want to talk about Grand Bahama. I want to talk about the Port Authority. I want to talk about the people and the psyche of Grand Bahama, right? I want them to understand that it's not the port. It's something more sinister, something acidious, slow-moving like molasses that has impacted and infected the people of Grand Bahama, where they have abdicated the responsibility of government and put it onto the port. And that way of thinking means that Grand Bahama is finished. So I have this clip. I have this first clip. I have two clips, actually. And it makes me cringe hearing it, right? Both clips. Because it adds to my case. And I see I'm already getting callers already. I want this caller to answer me whenever I allow them to come on whether Grand Bahama is finished. And if it's not finished, where is it? Right? But play that first clip and then I'll speak to the caller afterwards.
That also attach that to the document that they would have. And we give them 30 days to respond to us. Failure to do so, we'll come back.
What do you feel about the press conference with the port yesterday?
I have no further comments on the press conference on the port. I wish the port all the best. I hope that they would hear the cries of the people, address the cries of the people, and understand that they are the city managers and it's their responsibility to do what we're asking them to do.
So in short, can you take the Grand Bahamians one more time exactly why you're out here and doing
it? Today we're out here as Grand Bahamians, as business owners, to simply say that the state of our island is unacceptable. You lack maintenance, you lack development, and you lack management of our city. And we're calling on you to do what you have been called to do and to make sure that it gets done. And we're calling on the executives to work harder. If you're working now, work harder in making sure that this island is developed and it goes back to the state we once knew it to be. A functioning international airport, a functioning hospital, a functioning robust economy with businesses and all sorts of other stuff.
Talk about the supporters here with you today, Don.
I'm grateful to have the Grand Bahamians with us. Unfortunately, we are breaking the law enforcement. This is the media officer. But I'm grateful to have Grand Bahama with me to be able to stand with us and to simply say that it's not just me that is saying what is being said, but we all feel it, and that's why we're here today.
What do you want to say to Grand Bahamians who are not here?
I understand some cannot be, and I understand some choose not to be, and I understand that some wants to be. But we have to stand for something, and if we don't stand for something, we'll fall for anything.
And we feel represent the majority. So you don't need numbers to get the point across. Many people who are not here feel exactly how we feel. But then we also recognize that we live in a victimization type of society and government. So some people want to be here, and perhaps they're afraid to be here. But we who are here, we're bold enough to say, we stand with Darren. And we would, you know, it's sad. I think Mrs. St. George has been in the grave now for 18 years. And it seems as if, for 18 years, the Port Authority has lacked vision, empathy, and compassion for the people of Grand Bahama. For 18 years, we seem like we've gone backwards rather than forward. And as I was speaking to the Member of Parliament for Central Grand Bahama, was saying, we're living off of everything that Edwin St. George negotiated before his death. And that's sad. So after 18 years, we've not moved any further. I hope to God that we will have more people like this now to stand up for us. Because he's standing up for us, typical Bahamians, go do the work. We ain't coming. But if you get us straight, we right there with you. So we thank God for people like Darren. Let's give him a hand.
And that was Michael Pine and a businessman named Darren. And they claimed that they were talking from a position of strength. I laugh at that. I said, Lord, it's always sad to see Bahamians on their knees begging. Please, sir, can I have some more? That's my Oliver Twist sight right there. I think I sounded English there. Please, sir. May I have some more porridge, please? And we know exactly what Oliver Twist got right after that when he begged for some more. Bap! Right across your face. You ain't got no more. So let me take this first caller. Caller, go ahead. Is Grand Bahama finished? That's the question. The caller dropped? You still there?
Hello?
Hey, caller. Go ahead. There was a slight delay. I'm doing well.
Good. Listen, I'm not sure I could be wrong, right? But I think that with the Grand Bahama Port Authority, I think they are responsible for investment, you know, bringing investment into the city.
Repeat that again, sir. I'm sorry.
I think that you were saying that it's the government that is responsible for bringing investment into Freeport, right?
Go ahead.
But I think if you go and you check and you read that that Grand Bahama Port Authority or the Hawksbill Creek Agreement, you will find somewhere in there that they are responsible for bringing investment into Freeport.
Okay, I'll ask you a question before you go, Colin. Thanks very much for that, right? What's the capital? What's the capital of Grand Bahama?
Hold on, and that's not the only thing, right?
No, I want you to answer that for me, please, if you can. Just the capital of Grand Bahama.
Pardon me?
The capital of Grand Bahama.
Freeport.
See, and there lies the problem right there. Oh Lord, I'm not sure if you even see the mistake. The capital of Grand Bahama is West End, right? Not Freeport. And West End looks like a back of marijuana. You know the worst part of marijuana where there's no light, no electricity, no nothing? This is the best of us in Grand Bahama. See, let's talk about the capital.
They're still responsible for
West End?
Pardon me?
For West End?
For Freeport in general.
But I'm not talking about Freeport. I'm talking about West End now. Who is responsible for West End? The capital of Grand Bahama.
Well, then that falls under the government.
Now you see my vexation of spirit, caller. Oh, Lord, you see it. My point is government have abdicated its responsibility to the port. And we go begging now, say, Mr. Port.
Yeah, no, but see, we
just talked about the capital, caller. Caller, let's stay focused now. I hear you. I want to know the responsibility for government for at least the capital of the island. And so goes the capital of that island, so goes the entire economy for the... You know how big Grand Bahama is? You know part of Freeport is? And the rest of Grand Bahama look like underneath the back of the arm? That's how the rest of Grand Bahama is?
But listen to me a minute, right?
Okay, I'll listen.
But there's also nothing happening in Freeport.
I'll get there.
It's not only West End.
Oh, we know it's not only West End.
It's also Freeport. So they're responsible as the government to do something in West End and the Port Authority to do what they're supposed to do in Freeport, then we'll have maybe it'll be a bit better, right? And then my second point is, I understand what you're saying, right? But when it comes to... let's say you're trying to explain something or make an analogy or something, right? I prefer you not to make an analogy using back to slavery days. Okay?
We heard any slavery term there?
Pardon me?
You heard any slave term there?
But when you said it, you said something, but it reminds you about when we go back down on our knees and we begging and we ask for porridge. You only used to ask for porridge.
That was a story with Oliver Twist. That slavery is over, must be about 200 years for Oliver Twist. I'm sure you're familiar with Oliver Twist, the movie. And
yeah,
the book.
Yeah. But
it was not slavery. You know better than that. Stop that. Stop it.
Stop it. I'm just putting it out there.
Yeah, I saw you putting it out there. It didn't make no sense, though. But stop it. I appreciate it, but stop it.
Okay. All right, thank you.
My pleasure. Thanks for calling, though. I had some fun with you. I have another caller. No? Yeah? Go ahead, caller. I'm going to pause for you. I want to read something. Something by Celindon, what Celindon said. And I wonder if we are not fulfilling our own responsibility to Grand Bahama. But go ahead, caller. Oh, the caller stopped. So this is a Celindon quote. Freeport has indeed been a miracle of economic development. What it lacks in humanity... What it lacks is humanity. What it needs is a social conscience. What it must have before too long is a soul. It is fundamental that people are more important than things and machines. And in the Bahamas, I mean to see that this is fundamental means Bahamian people are more important than things or machines. And that's Celindon Pinion, which he is basically critiquing and criticizing the Port Authority way back then. And this is a preamble to his bend or break speech. And I'm trying to say, perhaps when Celindon made that speech, he saw the future. He saw the future of Bahamians not doing or not living up to their responsibility. And my concern, my issue is that the Port Authority is a monster that was created by us. We gave the Port Authority more responsibility than what it initially thought it was going to be. We gave them the airport to to manage, right? We give them the city to manage, housing to manage, electricity to manage. And I said, surely these are responsibility of the government. Can't be responsible for a quasi-government. Now we have a quasi-government Munster in the midst of us, and we vexed her at it. We mad at the port for being a business, and the business saying they're scaling down. And then you said that, well, the port authority has some responsibilities and some duties. And if they do have such, and mind you, I believe they do have such, surely it is the government to enforce. They have the police on their side, the defense force on their side, you know, all manner of means to block the port in general, yet they do nothing. It's like they enable us. It's as if we are enablers. We forget that the government have shares in the port authority. We forget that there are prominent black and white behemoths have shares in the port authority. And they sit by and do nothing. They want it just like this. It is what it is because of us. But we have another caller. Go ahead, caller. I see it blinking and there's no call. No problem. I'll continue, right? I like you said, I want you to join this conversation with me and question whether the Grand Bahama is finished and who created this monster called the Port Authority, right? Recently, I made a post on saying what Grand Bahamians need to do, and I'm going to get to that right now. I'm just going to read my notes. And I said one of the things that Grand Bahama need to do is to stop looking at the port as its salvation. They need to first realize that it's them who's going to be their own salvation and move forward. West End shouldn't be looking like how it looks right now, right? It needs some tender, loving care of small businesses and thriving Bahamians who said, I don't care what the port doing there. We are a prideful nation, and Bahamians will march forward, right? And that isn't happening, right? So let me read some points that I made. And see if you agree with me, right? And the post was Grand Bahama, its tourism product, and its future. First of all, we must call a spade. Grand Bahama is finished. That being said, let's move on to fixing it. We're going to list a number of ideas on which we can actually help fix Grand Bahama. And then my whole phone froze. So I'm stuck on trying to get the list. But part of the list was, if I go by memory, it was small businesses. We need a number of small businesses to develop Grand Bahama. We need a trade school. We need to change our thinking in terms of how and what Grand Bahama is. But I have one more recording. So let me play that recording. And this recording is by the minister, the chairman of the PLP, and the minister of foreign affairs. So play that recording as I try to get my notes up that I'm able to see.
It's time for the government to get a true valuation on the shares of the Grand Bahama Port Authority. The pressure on the ground is enormous and the dissatisfaction widespread about the inability of that company to execute the mandate of the Hawksbill Creek Agreement. They do not appear to have the capital or the talent to take the city any farther. The government had an agreement with the port when we were last in office between 2012 and 2017, and we passed an act in pursuance of that agreement to promote the development of the city. It was left on the books, but never enforced by the Free National Movement when they went to office. And now we have a mandate again, and it's left lagging. Two things have happened. First, the FNM came to power, and in concert with the port, drafted a bill to reverse all that the PLP had agreed with them. And then they never enacted it. The problem is that the FNM did nothing to force the PLP's commitments, even though they didn't pass their own bill. They let the port simply slide. The result is today the roads are in a state of disrepair. there's no airport, and the tourism infrastructure is in shambles. So you get the impression that this is being run, the Grand Bahama Port Authority is a family business, and assets are being liquidated, and all that is being done is really to keep things going at a bare minimum. I guess that's why Darren Cooper and his business people are on the streets, and we support that. Some were making noise about the fact that Ginger Moxley, the minister for Grand Bahama, was not at the demonstration last week. Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, Ginger Moxley is a minister. She doesn't have to demonstrate. She can act. And I assure the people of Grand Bahama that even though you don't like the PLP, you voted against us, we are going to act in the national interest to save Grand Bahama.
Yeah, that's Minister Fred Mitchell. And he's trying to make a strong statement to the Port Authority. But I don't think the Port Authority rate him. I think they're going to ignore him like they ignore all the governments, right? And something that the minister said that make me consider, say, wow, you know, sit back and pause. And that part is, he said that he does not believe that the current managers of the port, the owners, has the wherewithal, the skills, the techniques, the expertise to get Grand Bahama or get the port, to get Freeport to the next level. Let us sink in. They don't have the expertise or skill to make the Freeport survive. And if that is the case, and I believe that is the case, and I believe that the point that the minister made, that these people are just doing enough as they slowly extract what is left there, right? That means Grand Bahama is finished, right? And I'm saying, and I want to put this point too. If the Hawksbill Creek agreement was such a grand idea, how come no government duplicated it? How come there's no Hawksbill Creek agreement type thing in Mayor Guano or Rum Key or in San Salvador? It's as if we lack the skill to recreate this grand thing. It's as if we do not know what happened in 1965 to bring about this Hawksbill Creek Agreement. And because of that, Grand Bahama, and by extension, Freeport, flounders. Because we lack the skill to renegotiate and to influence the owners of the port. I see Markipine mentioned that 18 years ago, Edward St. George died. And after his death, Freeport proper has floundered, hasn't moved, has been no investment. And in 18 years, he has been living there. And there has been no movement, and no one has decided to make a pivot, to shift, and say, let me go back to the capital and open up my small business, because the people in Freeport is joking. I know a caller said he got offended by a reference that make to slavery, which I didn't make a reference to slavery. I make a reference to old England in the early 1900s. With poverty reign and that people were dependent on the state, it seems as if, again, Bahamians have become a welfare state and we are dependent on the port. And if the port doesn't respond to us, if the port does not give us this morsel of porridge, we cannot survive. And I have a problem with that because I'm more independent in nature. I believe in doing things myself. And I don't believe that the port predestines my conclusion. But certainly, it seems as if it has predestined the people in Freeport. And the numbers to call is 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259, as we have a discussion. And there is a text line, and the text line is... Where the text line? 422-GR96, which is 422-4796. And let me go to the text line and read some texts. It is a belief that many of the rich business class of the capital would like to be finished, like it to be finished, and keep everyone cramped and landlocked in Nassau. Nassau is not overpopulated, no. There's a lot of land out west and space out west. It just makes it seems as if it because everybody's living want to live downtown, right? If it is finished, then what was reported $200 million in annual revenue reported in Grand Bahama. I'm trying to read what the text says. The devil's a liar. The people are still building their, okay, I guess that's houses they're trying to say. And I remember when Grand Bahama used to be called the second city of the Bahamas. It's not. Abaco took that over a long time, that place. Even when Abaco had the devastation, and it has more economic power than Grand Bahama right now. And of course, if you include Exuma to be the third, you see that Grand Bahama, despite its population, is perhaps the fourth economy in the Bahamas, right? So that's my point. I think Grand Bahama is number four now. They're not definitely not the second city in the Bahamas. So the port has no jurisdiction in East and West Grand Bahama. They are only responsible for the Freeport City area, which is fixed and can stimulate the entire island. There, Minister Mitchell, Grand Bahama has been neglected by consecutive governments. He knows better, as he is the licensee in Freeport. Well, I'm not sure what he is or not, but my point is, right, the government has a duty of care for the entire island. I know the restrictions what Freeport has, and I know they have bonded vehicles. And with that apartheid system that only Freeport gets all of the milk and honey, I find that people in West End and East End suffered. A ghetto was created as Freeport lifted up, right? And I think that the people who benefited from Freeport, right, allow this to fester and allow there to be an economic gap. And now we have more people, more Grand Bahamians outside of Grand Bahama than actually living in Grand Bahama, right? Another text says, no wonder Christie was considered the worst prime minister because he extended the Hawks Mill Creek Agreement for another 50 years. I did wonder why he extended it. I thought, oh, thank God, we finally getting rid of the Port Authority. So when you hear people complain, oh, the Port Authority is the problem. If we get rid of them, all of our problems will be gone and Grand Bahama will return to the big magic, you know? And I said, no. Even the government realized that we could need 50 more years of this pra service than having them pull out all together and having Freeport look like West End. The government was terrified of that, said more, because they don't plan to invest in Grand Bahama no time soon. No administration, you know? This is as best as it gets right now. So I hear you. I hear you protesting. And I believe that perhaps you need to go and negotiate with the port and say, port, what is it I can do to help you develop Freeport? You know what was another coffin in my narrative of Freeport being finished? When the Prime Minister came back from Dubai. Oh, see, you already know where you're going with this, right? When the Prime Minister came back from Dubai, and where we spoke to all those international and rich people with billions of dollars, and they said, at least the Prime Minister said that they said, they're interested in the Bahamas, but they definitely ain't interested in Grand Bahama. There's nothing in Grand Bahama that allures them to invest. Not Freeport, not 8 Mile Rock, not East End, not McLeanstown. There was nothing on that island that was attractive enough for them to say, man, let me come and look, you know? Surely the place finished. We need to have some sober conversation and address the problem. See, and one of the things we need to do in terms of dealing with our issues is first acknowledging where we are, then making some tough decisions on how we can deal with it in order for us to move forward. I have another text here. CA, you are correct. The Hawksbill Creek Agreement is a sham. It is a lazy and lousy way of governing. The agreement should be recalled forthwith. Like I said, our government abdicated its responsibility to the whole of Grand Bahama. And the people in Grand Bahama are comfortable with it. To the point that they go and row the port people when they should be rowing their government. You know, say, man, government, I need some things. You know, they begging to have a horse bill. The business people begging to have an airport. Say that the port need to put the airport back. And they have no problem with that. See, I can only laugh. Great show as usual. No government check for Grand Bahama. For the past six hurricanes, the last time Grand Bahama was booming, I think, was in 1998. It's now 2022, going on 2023. So if Grand Bahama's finished, host of shows, Grand Bahama's being finished. It ain't finished. It ain't being finished a long time, you know? And mind you, my goal today was not to bash Grand Bahamians, though. I'm just trying to give them a reality check to see that this action of protesting and begging the port to react ain't the solution. The solution for their salvation will be within themselves. You know, you need to have that Turks Island blood to come back and say, man, we building, right? I remember when Sir Lyndon going back to Grand Bahama and asked to renegotiate with the port and said, can you build some houses, some low-cost homes, please? So the government abdicated again. See, all these signs of abdication of the responsibilities. The port build the houses. See, something is wrong with that. So this text says, Cecil, I need you to stop lying for the FNM. See, I thought I'd been apolitical, but now I'm lying for the FNM. Davis said that some of the Dubai leaders said they didn't want to invest at that time. Not the entire business world. I'm only talking about Dubai, you know. Say, they did not plan to invest at that time. See, the texts are trying to be smart and twist words. And see, this, it comes to the same conclusion. The same conclusion, right? Say, they didn't want to invest at that time. Let's see what another text. Say, this text says, Bahamians really need to stop being politically foolish. Whether if it were Pinglin, Ingram, Christie, or Minnis, either one of those traders would be extended, who have extended the Hawksbill Creek Agreement, there is much money to be made by everyone in these deals, except by the Bahamian people. Okay? And mind you, my goal is not to demonize our former leaders, no. I just believe that our leaders were inept when it came to these negotiations. That the entire Hawksbill Creek Agreement, the higher port, Grand Bahama Port Authority, was a foreign concept, and that we bought in to that concept because we didn't want to do and develop Grand Bahama. I wanted to think about that so we can continue this discussion on the next side of the break. This is Guardian in the AM. This is CA Nuri having a conversation with you.
Throughout our lifetime, we must all make decisions. No matter how we choose, the right one just needs to be made. Like having J.S. Johnson Insurance Agents and Brokers as your insurance partner. We've been serving the Bahamas for over 100 years. Whether you need home, motor, marine, or commercial insurance, make the right decision. Call 397-2100 or visit jsjohnson.com.
The Water and Sewage Corporation advises its customers that the corporation will temporarily close at all locations for 2 hours on Tuesday, March 8, 2022, from 10 a.m. to 12 noon for a general staff meeting. all locations will reopen same day at 12:20 p.m.
Mommy, guess what I did in school today?
Hold on, sweetie. Mommy's sending a text.
But Mommy, my teacher said that you're not supposed to text and drive.
I know what I'm doing.
Oh, look, Mommy, the Smith twins. Mommy, watch out!
In 2017, approximately 54 people died as a result of traffic accidents. A percentage of these fatalities occurred as a result of texting while driving. Just taking your eyes off the road for 5 seconds can increase your chance of crashing. Remember, even the smallest voice counts.
Texan.
Brought to you by UB Radio and Guardian Radio 96.9.
Always on the go? Missed the show? You can now listen to Guardian Radio talk shows anytime, anywhere on Spotify and YouTube by searching Guardian Radio 96.9 FM or by entering the name of your favorite show. You can also listen by logging on to guardiantalkradio.com and clicking on the podcast tab. Guardian Radio, continuing to provide you with fresh news and smart talk anywhere, anytime, all day.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Guardian Radio AM, and this is C.A. Nuri, and we're having a conversation about Grand Bahama and whether Grand Bahama is finished. Right? A number of persons texted and called in and said, how dare I say such a thing, right? But I want us to be more analytical. Don't mind the harsh words and the flowery words of me saying it's finished. It's a stark in reality, and I want to sober us up in terms of having this this conversation, right? I remember in the 60s, there were 200 people living on Grand Bahama, just 200. And when they decided to build the city of Freeport, that mushroomed to 7,000. And those 7,000 weren't Bahamian anymore, right? Within the year or 2 years, it mushroomed to 7,000. They weren't Bahamian. These were expats, and these were persons who wanted a second home in Grand Bahama, right? So I said that to say that the creation of Freeport was not for us, but it was for benefit of a certain class of people. And as the government realized that the persons who helped build Freeport needed a place to stay, they renegotiated with the Port Authority and said, can you please help us, help our citizens, right? And they negotiated to have some low-cost homes built for Bahamians, right? But my thing is, that conversation, that narrative of yesteryears when the government continues to pander with the Port Authority, after 50 years later, it still continues, right? We still going to them and asking them to help us help our citizens. And something must be wrong with that, right? But I have some more text here. Let me go with the text, right? Good day. C is right. We need airlift to boost the economy of Grand Bahama. Well, definitely. I saw the airport that Grand Bahama currently has. It's a makeshift building, clapboard building. And I said, my God, look how the mighty has fallen. I remember when I was younger, Grand Bahama used to brag that we have cable television. And I didn't know what cable was, you know, because we had an antenna. You know, we had a skating rink. And I said, what you mean skate? Me skating the road, right? Grand Bahama had magic. And I wanted to experience that magic. And I have now seen that the magic has gone. I don't know where it went to, but there's no magic there at this present time. So we need perhaps new magicians. And I believe, and I'm putting this case to you, that the reason why there is no magic in Grand Bahama, no magic in Freeport proper, is not because of the Port Authority, you know, but it's because of the Bahamians who work at the Port Authority. Is it because of the Bahamians who have invested inside the Port Authority? It's because of the businesses who are in the port area, because they have abdicated their responsibility of developing themselves and creating an environment that they are able to thrive. They believe in that patriotic system where daddy must take care of them. And that daddy here being the port. Right? Another text says, CA, what's preventing us from investing in Grand Bahama, making it the factory of the Bahamas again? It's frustrating that fisheries is one of our biggest sectors, and yet we are paying so much for tilapia, not grouper. Why can't we cut out the middleman and make our own tuna and sardine and other products? Let's see, continues. Products to feed ourselves. All of this being owned and ran by us for a profit. It's time we stop waiting on foreigners to invest to save or investors to save, foreign investors to save us. We must save ourselves. And I agree with the texter, right? But I would put this position, I'm not sure if we know how. We like talk about it. We like spend other people's money, right? But we're not prepared to invest. Every time we have a good idea as to what should happen, we always call other people names. Say, Brent Simonet needs to invest in this. Or Sebastian Bastian needs to invest in that. But we're not prepared. We're not prepared to say, let's come together and spend our own nickels. Right? We always look aside and shy away and say, let someone else spend their money. I have another text says, great show as usual. The problem we are having with Grand Bahama is that we are looking for foreign investment in Grand Bahama. I fully well know I will be demonized for this, but the war going on in Ukraine, we would exploit this by letting the Russians fund Grand Bahama because the rest of the world is seized. Look at this person. Seize or is seizing their assets. So basically, they're saying that because of what's happening in the world, we more likely would be willing to let the Russians come and invest in Grand Bahama because of how desperate we are. You know? And this person also mentioned that Grand Bahama had cable first before Nassau people, and Nassau people just basically jealous. This person said, to me, the entire country finished, gutless men. I guess that's a female caller. But my point is that in order for Grand Bahama to move forward, they now must depend upon themselves. They need to have their own business plan. They need to demand of government to make an atmosphere that's amicable of doing business. And if the port is not cooperating, government needs to make some key decisions. See, Sir Lyndon understood what this yesteryears when there's racism rank in Grand Bahama. But Sir Lyndon made a strong speech at one of the biggest days of Grand Bahamian history. They're opening this oil refinery. It was the big pageantry and pumping pageantry about the possibilities of Grand Bahama and what can transpire. And that time, Sir Lyndon seized that moment to say that if Grand Bahama does not bend and allow its citizens to take advantage of the blooming and the fruits, then he planned to break it. So I said the same. If the Port Authority does not allow Bahamians in Grand Bahama to take advantage of the blossoming and great times, then the government has a duty to break it. But I just don't believe that our government has the gumption, the know-it-all, the skill, the talent to do such. Because if you break that Port Authority and have nothing to replace it, Lord have mercy on us. If you think Grand Bahama hurting now, imagine if there wasn't a port, no matter how it limps about. Imagine if the port that shut down some years ago when they had the extension. Surely, I see the minister mentioned the roads are not paved and tourism sector is not doing well. That's just a reflection of how West End look. We've given you an example of how Grand Bahama would look without the Port Authority. And I believe that Grand Bahamians need to be concerned. They need to be concerned because the future looks grim. And this person say, obviously I've not read the port agreement. And truth, I haven't read it in detail. And I may be ignorant to the fact, but I'm not ignorant to what was happening now. It's clear what's happening now, right? You might cite that, the agreement dictates and they should do this and the port should do that. But they ain't doing it. They ain't doing it, and you have nothing you can say to force them to do it. And you heard governments pontificating that, if they don't do this, we can do that. And they ain't doing it. And that's the point I'm trying to make. Is the Port Authority doing everything it can? And if they're not, who in this country can force them to do it? So I'm talking to that text who's texted me like 6 times, right? Saying you need to go read the agreement. I understand your point, you know. My point is the port is not living up to the supposed agreement. The government is not enforcing the supposed agreement. And the people are not demanding. They're demanding now. They're marching, all 200 of them and the whole population of Grand Bahama, and then claiming that, some people want to come, but they feel like they're going to get victimized and lose their job. And even though they have mass unemployment and most people whom, they're free to march. But see, we ignoring that. Right? This text said, you can't break Freeport. It is already broken. Being that way since Pinglin broke it over 50 years ago. You seem to be happy with that. I'm happy to know. I'm having a tough conversation today. I'm having that tough conversation today to sober up some Grand Bahamians. Let them know that we're watching them and we're shaking our heads and saying, man, clearly y'all ain't want more. You know, y'all want to march. Y'all believe marching is cause things to happen. For decades, we've been saying, what that place is that they demolished recently would have the Japanese entrance wall, you know? So that needs to be demolished. It had to be in fire upon fire to have that that demolished, you know? It wasn't on our own of convincing the port to have that entertainment sector demolished and then to have conversations. To this day, you speak to the Port Authority, they'll say, well, we don't have the authority to bulldoze these people's property, but we'll bulldoze the stuff that is a fire hazard and that needs demolishing. So parts of it will be left up. This text is saying 200 out of 50,000 people march, and they call that a big number, right? This another text says, International Bazaar. Yes, you see my mind went blank, right? The port is the boss. End of story. Bend or break. Well, it broke for the people, not for the owner, right? It's not like I'm celebrating the frustrations and the hardships that Grand Bahama is going through now. I don't want Grand Bahama hurt. They are fellow Bahamians just like me. But I want to sober them up. And if they need help in terms of creating a movement up there, up north, you know, this special island, right? Then they need to come to Nassau and seek help. That the next time they decide to march, it won't be 200 of them. We can have some Nassauvians, some Acklands Islanders, some Abaconians who are going through some tough time too. But look how Abaco is rebuilding. Let's do a compare and contrast to see the difference between Abaco and Grand Bahama. We know that Abaco is having some frustrating times at this present time, but you can see movement. You can actually see movement, slow movement, but you can see movement and development happening in Abaco. But can you see that with the port and Freeport or in Grand Bahama or in Western? I would say and venture to say no. I don't see it. I foresee, this government has promised that definitely they will concentrate on Grand Bahama. They have Ginger Moxie, who's the minister of Grand Bahama, who has promised to do some things. I see that she has some programs she has initiated. And I smile and say, man, good for her. I hope good things happen for them, right? And this government has promised to put the Port Authority feet to the fire and make some things happen for Grand Bahamians. But I'm confident that could happen. I believe that in 4 years, 5 years, Grand Bahama could look to see him. Cecil, at this point, I am will to see. Cecil, at this point, I'm waiting to see you run the Port Authority better than how it's being run now. See, I'm here a commentator, and now they want me to run the port because I complained. That's typical behemoth fashion, right? They want me now to run the port because I say something is wrong, that something is broken, right? That's typical. Say, Abaco needs a Hawksbill Creek agreement. And perhaps Abaco does. I say Nassau needs a Hawksbill Creek agreement. Definitely Acklands need one. And I always wonder, why wasn't this duplicated? You know, I see the IA group back again in Mayor Gwana, and I'm hoping that perhaps they will have a Hawksbill Creek agreement type thing. Right? But I see I have 2 minutes now, and I have no callers. So I just want to say happy International Women's Day. I see that the Office of the Spouse is recognizing Bohemian Madonna, which is a statue that is in the Prince George dock. It was hard. It was very obscure. It was hard to see. But it was wonderful to know that the Office of the Spouse is recognizing it. It's a beautiful statue. It has history. It tells the tale of Bohemian woman, the strength. It has a mother and child. And they have a wreath laying today. And I'm hoping that more of us go out there to see it and to appreciate this particular statue, especially on this International Women's Day. That particular statue have a narrative below it, and it tells a tale of the strength of Bohemian women and why they are the backbone of the Bahamas. But this is Guardian Radio AM. My name is C.A. Nuri. And I'm glad that you listened in to have this discussion with me regarding the future of Grand Bahama, the current state of Grand Bahama, and what needs to be done. Thank you for joining me.